This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers.
Sunny day, sweeping up clouds away. On my way to where
Sesame Street has been educating and entertaining kids around the world for nearly 50 years. Recently, the long-standing show has been making headlines. First, after the Trump administration proposed cutting all funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which funds public television and public radio.
And just yesterday, the show made headlines with the news it's introducing a new puppet character on the autism spectrum.
But about a year ago, Big Bird and the gang said goodbye to one of the most beloved neighbors on the block, Maria. She was one of the first Hispanic characters on national television when she was added in 1971.
Actress Sonia Manzano played Maria for 44 years. Now she's a children's book author and public speaker. She'll visit Milwaukee in May to speak at an event hosted by the Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee.
Manzano spoke this week by phone with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello about her experience on Sesame Street and what she hopes for the show going forward.
The reason we're chatting is that you're coming to Milwaukee to be a guest speaker in front of the Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee. So I'm wondering why you're looking forward to visiting us here and why that group in particular.
Oh, well, I do a lot of speaking engagements since I've retired from Sesame Street, and this particular group focuses on scholarships and the importance of education and how we really have to help offer a helping hand to kids who are trying to get good educations. And it's a very personal story for me that I like to share, my own story of struggling with a substandard education and then spending a lot of time in high school and college trying to catch up. I was raised in the South Bronx, as you may or may not know, and I was an excellent student in the South Bronx because very little was expected of me. You know, I would pass everything and paying the minimum of attention. I could give myself manicures in my desk and still pass. And then when I got into the High School of Performing Arts, my grades went from A student to being a C student. And it was because I had such an inferior elementary school education, and I spent a lot of my time catching up. So that's a reason that I'm passionate about this area. And also, I was raised in the 50s. I watched a lot of television. I never saw people of color on television. I never saw Latin people. We were so invisible. We didn't exist. In the media, we weren't in books or in newspapers. And I watched a lot of television. I said, what am I going to do when I grow up? What part am I going to play? I don't see myself in the world. So imagine my feeling when I got to Sesame Street. These people wanted to show a Latin person, a real Latin person. So I thought, great, I'm going to be the person I needed to see myself.
Did you feel like there was an added pressure to you then of being that one person that maybe other kids would see?
No, I don't know. I didn't feel it as pressure. Well, I was young. I was in my 20s. And I was a little nervous of being with Big Bird, and you know, the show wasn't what it is now. It was only on the air 2 years, 69, and I got on in 71. And yes, I admit I was very nervous. And I guess after the initial nervousness, I got over it, and I rose to the occasion. And it was when Matt Robinson, who was the original Gordon, he said to me, you know, you're not here just to be the cute little Latina. You have to represent people. And I said, when did I become a representative? I'm not a politician, you know. But he said, no, you have to make sure that everything that this show does is correct as far as your culture goes. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first thing I did was there used to be a fruit cart on the show. And the fruit cart had apples, bananas, and all the pears, all the things that one would expect. And I went to the producers and I said, you know, if this was a really diverse neighborhood, we would also have platanos and plantains and coconuts on the fruit cart. And they said, you know, you're right. We're going to put them in. So that was my first political act, was to diversify the fruit cart.
you were on the show for, what, 44, 45 years?
44 years, yeah.
As somebody who, you know, like you said, you realized you were sort of a representative of your culture, and you did have to sort of jockey for things. Do you feel like, as somebody who played that role, you had a responsibility to join in on conversations, I mean, like the one we're having now on immigration and things like that? Or do you feel like it was more of your role to sort of redirect the focus elsewhere?
No, I think there's a little of everything in it. Every time, you know, some social change would come up, I would certainly want to join the conversation as far as how it affected the lives of children, not how it affected the grown-ups, but as far as how it affected the lives of children. For example, let's say this current political climate, I think that a lot of Latin children are probably very frightened by what they might hear in the media as to how it might affect them. And I know that my parents would just kind of think, because you were a kid, you weren't noticing what was going on. You know, and I would warn parents now not to think that their kids are not noticing what's going on and not being affected by them. And they might get misinformation from what they see on the television and hear on the news. So I certainly do always think about how social changes affect the lives of children.
Why do you think Sesame Street was this place where those conversations could happen? I know I just heard this morning that now we're going to have a new character joining the street, Julia, who's a character that has autism.
Yeah.
Why do you think that Sesame Street is a place where those kind of characters can all come together, whereas maybe in the other places on TV, kids might not see or have the opportunity to understand those sorts of diversities?
I think that it's because the impulse for the show was out of the Civil Rights Movement in 1969. I mean, that's when everything was changing. America was idealistic. President Johnson was going to create the Great Society. We were listening to both Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. Women were joining the workforce for the first time and burning their bras. The Sesame Street came out of that kind of new thinking, a new society. And it was very exciting, this idea that African-American children should get this information, cognitive skills from television, so that they could start school on an even level with their middle-class peers, was absolutely groundbreaking. And I think that because the show began in that atmosphere, it continues to try and do new things. I just found out about the autistic character that's going to be on the show last night. I saw it on 60 Minutes. And that's very in the spirit of Sesame Street. They have shows about, you know, if your parents are in jail. They had a financial crisis video. There was a video after 9/11 to try and assuage children's fears about what was going on around them. So I think that because it began at that time in America, when America was idealistic and progressive, that is the impulse, the little flame that keeps them going.
While we're on the subject of Sesame Street, I know it's been a little over a year now that the show has been airing primarily on HBO instead of PBS, where it always was originally. I know there's a lot of talk initially when that move was announced about how it would impact the viewers and the children who could watch it. I know, like you were talking about, you originally wanted it to reach kids who might not be able to access premium cable channels like HBO. Do you think the show still has the same reach that it used to, even though it's made that switch?
I think it has a lot more competition than it used to for all children's programming. We used to be the only kids on the block, and now there's 50,000 children's shows and some coming every year. But I don't know of another kid's show that has had a character that had AIDS, like we did for the South African co-production, or, as you noted, the autism show. But it's going to be shown on HBO first, and then it's going to go to public television. So kids will still be able to see it for free, although later than the rest of the...
I'm glad you mentioned that. It is now delayed. The newer episodes are delayed getting to PBS.
It's delayed, right. It's not. And so PBS will show the episodes for free.
Right.
Now, at other times, it would make a difference. But now we live in a time where people get their media whenever they feel like it. It's not like, you know, watching it every day at 4, maybe like you did, in the morning and at 4. That was the only time it was on.
Right.
I think kids are getting it like, oh, I think I'll binge watch now, or I'll see it later, or I'll get it on my phone. I don't think it makes that much of a difference nowadays.
Sure. Now you can see clips on YouTube, or you can see episodes elsewhere. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I look at myself on YouTube at age 20, 30, 40, 50, and 60.
What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see some of those clips?
I say that can't be me. We're living in this really coarse society. It takes a lot of money to make a show like Sesame Street, and it would be nice if, you know, it was available from the government, because it has been proven to improve the lives of children and educate them. But it's, you know, not happening. They needed more money to keep this very expensive show running. And, you know, it takes all of this research. I mean, to get that autistic puppet, they have to have research people come in and studies done. And all of this takes a lot of funds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened before. When Hillary Clinton was the first lady, I was on a panel with her talking about funding for PBS. And I remember she said, couldn't we just as a society decide that children should not be sold to on television and that television should just educate them? Couldn't we just make that decision as a society? I thought it was really forward thinking. This was a long time ago. She was the first lady. So I'm chagrined that we're still going through this and that we're going through this again.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was another question I wanted to ask you. This conversation is happening again. The budget's coming forward, and whether or not funding for public broadcasting will be included. I mean, as somebody who has been on the show, and like you said, you've seen what time and energy and resources go into adding characters or developing episodes, what do you hope happens for the life of the show going forward?
I'm certainly hopeful that PBS goes forward. This is such a small part of the budget. You know, when you look at the pie, that shows you how much of the budget will go to PBS or the arts in general. Nowadays, the arts are needed more than ever in a children's life, because there's so much testing going on in schools. So that the arts are the only place that a kid could infer, could think of other things, could use his or her imagination. Because there's a lot of stress on them in the school system to pass tests. So I don't know how we're going to expect kids to grow up and think outside the box and think of new things and be entrepreneurs and figure out what to do if something doesn't go exactly the way they think without the arts, without having that experience of fantasy.
Sunny days sweeping the clouds away.
Actress Sonia Manzano is best known for playing the character of Maria on Sesame Street. She left that role a year ago after playing the part for 44 years. Manzano spoke with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello.
Manzano will appear as a guest speaker at the sold-out five-star gala hosted by the Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee on May 13th.
A short break now, and then trend spotting when it comes to tax filing scams. That story when Lake Effect returns on WUWS.
A-OK. Tell me.